Carolina, and this recording is from one of our church services. For more information, visit our website at churchofphiladelphia.com. Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoy the message.
I'm not going to go into that quite yet because, I still got to actually preach. But I tell you, I sure appreciate who he is. Hallelujah. Oh, come on. He is worthy of the praise. Hallelujah. I want to let you know this morning that you're not here by mistake. Hallelujah. This is an opportune time and an opportune day. Hallelujah. So I want to shift your mindset just a little bit. We didn't come just to have church. Oh, come on, come on. This is not just a regular resting of his presence. Hallelujah. Come on now. Come on, come on, come on. So I want to shift your mind. Open up your faith just a little bit more. Hallelujah. Come on now. I want you to open up your faith just a little bit more. Don't hold back nothing today. Hallelujah. Don't hold back nothing today. Hallelujah. We come to be open to heaven, open to him. Hallelujah. He wants to do something for us today. He's already been doing it. Amen. Amen. Come on, let's go to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. I do have a word. And we're going to go to verse 3. And after I read verse 3, you can be seated. Everybody got it? Amen. So, and Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. Come on, you can be seated. As we've been going over this series, talking about God being our defensive coordinator, we understand that the defensive coordinator is the person in football who calls defensive plays to be able to keep the offense from scoring. This particular offense that we're talking about really is the offensive attack of the enemy that we always face from day to day. God, you know, the enemy is always on the offense, right? He's always trying to advance in our lives, gain ground, gain yardage. So it's the job of the defensive coordinator to call the plays to be able to stop the offense from scoring. And today we're going to be talking about when God calls a blitz. Now, a blitz is, in football terms, is when, and we're shifting to what he has called. It's an audible call. Amen? So, it's a football term that when the defense really sends extra help. Meaning, you know, sometimes there's three or four guys right there on the offensive, on the defensive line, and they supposed to advance and try to get to the quarterback or try to stop the play. Then you got linebackers behind them. A blitz is when they send linebackers or they send a cornerback or they send extra help to that line up front to overload the offense. Okay? So a blitz is when the offense gets overloaded so it can be stopped. So we're going to walk through this story, and you're going to see God's blitz. But as we walk through this story, I want you to understand that this is what's happening. It's not just us going through a story this morning. Amen? Amen. Amen. So Jehoshaphat was a king, and he was a king that had a heart for God. And as he had this heart for God, he began to set things in order. When you go to chapter 19, he was setting things in order, even though somebody came and said, hey, God got something against you. But because you started cleaning stuff up and everything, you know, you have found grace in the eyesight of God. But because you have leagued with this guy that likes the devil, Ahab, you know, God got a little something against you, right? So he began to set order in the house, set order in the worship. Not just in his house, but he set order in the kingdom. Meaning he set up priests. He began to restore worship in its rightful place. But as he was doing this, war came against him. Isn't it something how when you begin to get stuff in place in your walk, it seems like war starts coming against you? But see, the thing is, this wasn't a small war. He had three different nations coming against him. So when he heard that they was coming, this was his first response: fear. And for some of us, this is where we've been stuck for months and maybe even years. If we be all the way honest this morning, we have heard or we have looked at or saw or heard what the enemy said he's about to do, and it has caused us to fear. And the intimidation of the enemy has caused us to stop the restoration of worship in our lives. He make you stop. Say, well, if you give it all to God, you know, what you gonna have left? Last time you gave it all, do you remember how embarrassed you was? Last time that you say, you know what, it's all for him. And then you got in the middle of a fight and you lost. You suffered defeat. What you think is gonna happen this time? So we have walked in fear, even behind our praise, behind our worship, behind coming to church and hearing faith. We've still been fearful to actually move forward all the way. But I like Jehoshaphat. Even though he feared, what did he say? I'm going to set myself. I'm going to set myself to seek him. Because what's coming against me seems to be more than what I'm prepared to handle. Are you facing some stuff right now where it looks like it's a little more than you prepared to handle? And it could just be that call on your life, you look at it as that's more than you're prepared to handle. It could just be that God's mandate on your life is more than you're prepared to handle. It could be that just the challenges of your finances or the challenges you have emotionally or mentally is more than you are able or prepared to handle, right? You ever looked at it and be like, man, you know, I'm not going to make it through this. And out of fear, you start making decisions because you say, I can't get to the end of this. I can't handle it. I'm fearful that I won't make it, so I'm going to start doing my own thing to try to see if I can make it. But he said, you know what? No, I'm going to do this. I'm going to set myself to seek the Lord. And when he sought him, what did he do? It's what we used to call a fast, you know, a cuss word in the church. He fasted. Right? Because as the saints, we don't like to turn the plate over. Right? Don't ignore the call to fast in this season. You may be full all the time and really have no appetite for nothing because you don't supposed to be eating. Let me just make that clear. That's how the Lord shows you that it's time to fast. You don't want anything. You eat. You're not satisfied. Then you're full. And then you're not hungry like that. And you're making everybody mad around you because they're still trying to feed you even though you're supposed to be fasting. Right? But he proclaimed a fast. See, there's some fast that's not optional. See, there's some fast that's not optional. See, there's a fast that sometimes those that are in leadership just got the call and say, look, this is what we need to do if we're going to live. If we're going to make it. Because think, if Jehoshaphat didn't call this fast, he didn't set himself to seek the Lord, lives were on the line. This just wasn't just, oh, well, I'm just scared that I won't pay a bill. You're talking about children dead, wives dead, families destroyed. But see, that's the thing. We don't look at it as our life is on the line. So you say, well, I don't want to fast. I want to eat something good to make me feel good in the moment. But that feeling good in the moment got your life on the line. because your mind on the line, your emotional state on the line, the decisions that you about to make, that's on the line. You don't know which way to go. The wisdom that you need, you don't have it, and God looking for a sacrifice of your plate, a sacrifice of your hours, a sacrifice of your stomach turning because you're hurting and hunger. So you can learn how to hunger for him. Right? That's why some of we can't move into things of God, because we won't cut this flesh back. Oh, but there's a fast that's not optional. There's a fast that's not optional. And that fast is to keep you alive. Hallelujah. So if God is calling you to fast, fast. Stop putting it off. Go ahead and fast. Turn your plate over. If it ain't before a half a day, for some of us it need to be for 3 or 4 days. Because you know what you're fighting, and you know what is higher than you. And the only way to catch it is if you can get lower than what you're dealing with on inwardly from the effects of your fight. So you got to break this flesh. The will to eat and to be satisfied. You got to break it. Amen? So in verse 4, it said, and Judah gathered themselves. See, today that's what God is doing. He gathering your praise back. Because we don't want to tell the truth. Your praise been dry. Hallelujah been hollow. You praised them and didn't feel them. Danced and it didn't feel like you broke no chains off your feet. You jumped and didn't get up with no more joy. You ever felt that way? I have. Then danced, gave God some praise, and then just, boom, felt like as soon as I stopped, still bound. Oh, but he gathering your praise back. He's gathering, he's gathering, he's gathering, he's gathering. Saying, come on, come on. Remember the times. Remember the intensity. Remember, it wasn't just about the body movement. It was about your heart. When you moved your body, that you was giving a sacrifice unto him. It wasn't just about a yell or a sound, but this sound was saying, God, I honor you with my life. Oh, he's gathering it back. He's gathering it back. He gathered them together to ask help of the Lord. Oh, we don't like being in need of help. Oh, but we need help. We need help. We need help. We need help. I need help. We need help. We all together need help together today. Hallelujah. Come on, come on. Sometimes we don't want to act like that we're in need of help because it makes us feel helpless. But the thing is, what you're praying against, not moving by yourself. You need help. What you're faced with and what you're about to walk into, you're not prepared for it, so you need help. What God has prepared for you and his mindset for you, you've never walked this way, so you need help. You need help. You need the wisdom to be able to walk in this thing and not fall off. You need the wisdom to be able to progress into the next stage of what God has prepared for you and not fall off. Amen. So even out of the cedars of Judah, they came with the seek him, to seek him. So in verse 5, it says, and Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court. And he began to pray. Now he just restored the worship, right? He just restored the order of worship. Meaning he had people who could pray. And really, generally, kings usually did not lead in worship. Did not lead in prayer like that. Right? But he said, you know what? It don't matter nothing about my position or who I am right now. I could care less. I need to go remind God what he said. And see, some of you need to remind God, God, this is what you said. This is what you said. I ran into a scripture this week. He said, that the scripture was Romans 3:3. It said, does your unbelief or your doubt cause the actual faith of God to be of none effect? meaning what he spoke, just because you don't believe it does not affect God's favor when he spoke it. Just because you doubt or go back and forth, it don't affect what God says. So he said, you know what? I know you're going to keep your word, God. So he started reminding God. He said, come on, let's go to the house of the Lord. That's why I said, it's not a mistake you're here today. It's not a mistake. We come to gather in his house to seek him. To say, God, and I'm just going to kind of summarize the prayer because I got a long way to go. But we're going to walk through this story. All right? Y'all going to stay with me? All right. Good. So in verses 6 through 12, he begins to pray and make intercession on behalf of the nation. And as a king, he began to remind God, you said if the people, we have enemies come against this house, that you would defend us. And now these particular people who are coming are people that you let get away. When you read verse 10, it talks about, he said, these were people you didn't allow us to destroy on the way out of Egypt. See, there's some things that God said, you know what, I saved you and I delivered you, but I had you pass through that because you wasn't ready for that battle yet. You couldn't handle facing that when you first got saved and delivered. But now I'm allowing this to come against you now because I got a purpose in mind. He said, what? Now behold the children of Amnon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. And he says, what? He said, and this is how they repay us? Because these was cousins of Israel. But Amnon and Moab was born out of incest. Lot's daughters slept with their father. That was the basis of how this came about. Mount Seir was the Edomites, the people of Esau, the one who was still bitter because he lost his birthright. So we're looking at a three evil cord that you're fighting against: fear, perversion, and bitterness. The fear has caused you to actually kind of push towards perversion, meaning your mindset is not right. Because sometimes when we think about perversion, we think it's just sexual. No, I'm talking about when you're not able to actually believe God the way you used to, when you're not able actually to see God the way you used to see him. When you don't see God how he's already proven himself to you, your mind is perverted. Because the truth he's already shown. He showed that in Egypt, right? He showed that when he brought you out of the world, right? But now for some reason, you can't believe him like you used to. And it's got your heart messed up. Now you can't forgive like you used to. And the bitterness is drying up your spiritual life. You walking around with a big old root in your soul, just sucking life out of you. The root of bitterness, causing you to be undefiled, fits of anger, being upset, not having no peace, not wanting to be bothered, wanting to be isolated, but you didn't used to be like this. Got trust issues because you're bitter. And we don't want to talk about how bitter we really are. And how bitter with God we really are. Oh, but he lets you come and face it. You got to fight against this thing. Because it's coming to destroy you. The fear, the perversion, and the bitterness coming to destroy you. Slowly pull all the life out of you. Just think about where you was 5 years ago in God. Think about where you was 10 years ago in God for some of us. A few instances and a few hiccups and a few trials and a few tribulations got you not even wanting to talk to him like you used to. Come on, I'm talking my testimony. But I know I'm not alone. Yeah, but I'm talking about me. But God had me go on a fast. I want you to fast 3 days. I got nothing from the fast. I'm like, why am I fasting? He wanted one thing. I really got before him one time. What did he say? He said, you mad at me. I started to turn on a song talking about he's good. He said, you don't believe it. I said, you right. Oh, yeah, yeah, you right. I've been trying to convince myself you're good through the fruit of my lips. But deep down in my heart, God, because of what I've been through, I did not believe it anymore. He said, this is why I needed you to fast, because I need to get down to that root. It ain't about people. It's not about a person. It's not about a situation. It's about because you think that I failed you. Because you trusted me and you hurt that I allowed you to hurt. You know it says it in the word that I will allow you to do it, but you're still not in agreement with how it happened. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And the bitterness caused this perversion to come up in my life and a fear that I never have dealt with, being a believer, being scared to the point of trembling sometimes. So this comes against our walk, right? Comes against us to destroy us. And we say, well, God, you could have dealt with this when I first got saved. You could have dealt with this when I first came to you. We could have destroyed this back then. We could have already dealt with this. And that's what was my mindset. God, you could have fixed this before now. But he said, well, I wouldn't have gotten to you. And I begin to weep and I begin to cry in my closet by myself. God, I want to be able to forgive you. Because when I tell the truth, I was mad at what he allowed me to go through. Things getting better, but still not happy about it. Do you know you can go through so long to where by the time the manifestation comes, you're not even happy about it. You want to say, you know, you're happy because everybody's watched you go through and they're happy for you. But on the inside, it's a dissatisfaction still. Why? Because you say, God, it didn't have to go through all that. But God said, yes, it did. I had to allow you and I trusted you with what you walked through. And I used even the stuff that I did not purpose to be able to bring you closer to me. Because everything that we walk through isn't what he purposed. But he's such a good God that he can use the things that he didn't purpose to his good. So he began to, you know, just say, God, I want to remind you that you said you would destroy our enemies. And since you said you was going to destroy our enemies, God, where are you? Where are you? I've been facing this thing. I can't get it out of my heart. I can't move past it. I can't change the way I need to. I almost feel like giving up on change and just saying this is the way I'm going to be. But in verse 14, well, let's say verse 13, saying all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones and their wives and their children. Then Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaniah, the son of Jeiel, and the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the children. Hold on. Yeah. A Levite of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of them. Right? So we're talking about here, the answer begins to come. And see, this is what has already happened today. God has already sent his answer. He sent his spirit to come upon us. But there's something significant about who it came upon. Jehaziel was a son of Asaph. Asaph became a chief musician after he was used to bang the cymbal when David caused the Ark of the Covenant or the glory of God to return back to Israel. He started just banging the cymbal. He was charged with making a joyful noise. And the sons of Asaph were those, when you go to 1 Chronicles 25, 1 and 2, those that was entrusted to prophesy on the instruments, to make the instruments prophesy. So it was, he was already used to this prophetic spirit. And see, this is why we have moved into a different place, even in worship on today, because this was not by happenstance, this was by the plan of God. But I charge us, and I charge the musicians and praise and worship, to catch this new wind. Yeah, catch it, and keep it, so you can begin to move into the fullness of what God has for you as a musician, as a praise and worship leader. But I want us, all of us, in your praise and worship life, personally, there's a wind of refreshing coming to your soul. There's a wind of refreshing and restoration coming from heaven. And this is just a sign today to give you strength, to deliver you, to give you strength to be able to face this battle. Yeah. Now, Jehazel name means beheld of God. God wants you to know that he's seen you. He's not only seen you, but he's seen what you've had to fight. See, sometimes we say, well, God, are you really concerned about this war that I'm in? Even as the man of God started talking about Wednesday, the civil war on the inside, are you concerned about this thing? Can I win this? Are you here? Do you see me? I'm struggling. Yeah, I'm trying. And the people that's trying to help me, they treat me like I'm not trying sometimes. At least that's the way I feel. But God says, I'm trying to push you to a place where you get lost in me. There's a place in his presence where there's fullness of joy. There's fullness. The depression and the heaviness has to go, meaning it can't even rest in your house. There's a place in his presence where you yearn after him. You hunger to be close to him. See, I can tell even from saying those words why God has allowed it. He's trying to build that hunger in you. Because when you go long enough without something, you appreciate it when you get it. And for some of us, we took for granted the presence of God in our lives. We took for granted the glory. We took for granted the prophetic spirit that would come and visit us. We took for granted the word of God. We got mad and said, well, I don't want God to speak to me no more. I don't want to talk to him like that. I don't want to come back and serve him like that. And you're mad at him because of things that have happened. That's a proof that you're bitter. When you say, I'm going to stop my progress with God. I got limits on how far he can take me. He ain't gonna take me but so far because I don't trust him like that no more. Hallelujah. But he said, well, I gotta bring the spirit upon the one that can prove that I seen you. I saw you. I saw everything that you went through. I saw it. But we said, well, God, if you saw it, why didn't you step in? But it was for the glory of God that he did not step in. And who's to say that he didn't? Hallelujah. There's a freshness coming, a fresh prophetic flow that's coming through the music. in this house. Now, I charge the musicians to really and praise and worship this morning, and all of us to really take serious your consecration. When I say consecration, I'm talking about the setting aside of things that's going to distract you from that presence. You'll be entrusted with that which is supposed to usher us into another place as a body and give us life. And if you don't heed it, you know, that's not going to be good consequences. God has a way of causing you to do what he said. He has a way, right? He has a way of backing you up in a corner, especially when you're chosen. So I'm charging you to let you know that this is how sharp you're supposed to be. Y'all supposed to be at the place where you're able to hear what the Lord is now saying, not just what he's playing. That's, his voice should be coming through the music. And the music should be ministering to him, just like today. Hallelujah. So spend personal time in praise and in worship with God. Go hungry enough not to stop just because you don't feel nothing in the beginning. Because some of us, we only got about 5 minutes worth of praise and worship. Well, God ain't show up. Like, come on. No, you at a place in your world where God wants you to work for this. Yeah. But there's a restoration in it. There's a restoration in it. Hallelujah. There's a personal devotion that God wants you to actually refresh inside of your life. Amen. So, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him and he said, "Hearken ye all Judah and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem and thou King Jehoshaphat. Thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by the reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours but God's." See, the first thing he come to destroy is your fear. He's tearing your fear down and building your faith back up. Because what you're about to face, he said, you know what? This is why I'm calling the audible. I'm changing the play that I've once had. He's changing the defensive play. He said, I see what's coming against you. Yeah, you can't handle it. But understand that this battle is not yours. He's about to step into that place of struggle in your life. He's about to step into that place and begin to fight for you, for those things that are coming against you. You're about to get extra strength. You're about to get extra insight, a portion of wisdom to be able to handle what God has allowed you to walk through. This battle is not yours. You can release the fear because it's not your victory to get. It's his. It's his. It's his. And he's going to get the victory. See, there's some things God said, just take your hands off of it. Trust me enough just to take your hands off of it. Don't even react the same way no more. Don't let your quiet mouth be a sign of your faith. Don't even say nothing no more. There's some things I say, you know what, God, you got it. Because when I try to handle it, I get so messed up on the inside. Because really, I'm trying to handle it in fear. I'm not speaking by faith. I'm not trying to deal with it in faith. I'm trying to deal with it because I'm scared. But God said, you know what, just take your hands off. Take your hands off of it. Watch me move. Watch me win this. See, God is the only one that's undefeated. I know people talk about Mayweather, but God is really the one that's undefeated. Hallelujah. He's really the one that has no losses. He's going to stop the fear, the effects of fear, because he's called an audible. What is this audible he's called? He said, look, tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeru. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Come on, I got to get that down in your spirit. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Because we fight different ways, right? But he said what? This is a new day. I began to say, okay, God, you say tomorrow go down. He said, no, I'm not talking about the next day. I'm talking about a new day. See, there's a new day in your walk. It's a new day in your walk. You about to get new strength. I'm trying to tell you. And this is for a purpose. To be able to propel us as a body into that which God has called us to obtain. Hallelujah. This is a purpose. This is a new day in your walk. I come to proclaim to you. I come to prophesy to you. I come to impart to you that this is a new day in your walk. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Come on, come on. The night is far spent. It's the breaking of day now. It's a turning of a new chapter, of a new page in your life, personally and corporately. So you got to face it now. But face it and understand, it's not even my fight. God says, I want you to face it so you can witness what I'm about to do. Because he could have told him, just stay home, right? Just don't even look at it. Just stay home. You don't even have to go to the valley. But he said, you know what? Go up and go down there. I want you to see that my word is true. I want you to see that what I said, I didn't lie to you. Hallelujah. I want you to witness that though you've waited on this word, I didn't lie to you. I didn't lie to you. I didn't lie to you. See, go down there. Don't even take no weapons. Just go on down there. This is where they're going to be at. Go down there, because I want you to witness this. Ye should not need to fight in this battle, but what? Set yourselves. Come on. God said, get your balance back. Come on, look at your neighbor and say, get your balance back. Get your balance back. Get your balance back. Some of these blows that we done took, they kind of knocked us off balance a little bit. Where I walk, it's not the same the way it used to be, right? So we off of balance. We going from this extreme to this extreme. And we can't get into that flow. We can't get into the way of faith. We can't get into that place of strength. We can't get into that place of peace like we once was. Oh, but it's over. 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 Being out of balance is over. It's 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 over. Being out of balance. Hey, hallelujah. So he said, what? Stand still. I need you to trust me. Sit there. Go down there and sit. And look at what I'm about to do. Stand still. Meaning don't be moved. Come on, look at your neighbor and tell him, don't be moved. Don't be moved by what you see. Because see, he told him to go down there against three nations. Because of this great multitude that's coming against you, don't even be moved. I know it's been a long time, but don't be moved by the great multitude of time. Hey, but there's a fullness of time. Hey, a fullness of time that has hit your life. And a time of fulfillment. A fulfillment of God's word. Hey, glory, 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 glory. He's going to fulfill what he said. So he said, well, stand still and see me save you all over again. Oh, he's about to restore the joy of your salvation. Yes. He about to restore the joy of your salvation. When you first met him, you first came to him. But he's not taking you back. He's taking you forward. So I want you to see this. See the salvation of the Lord that is where it's at with you. It's with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you. Come on, tell your neighbor. Say, neighbor, the Lord is with you. Come on, say it again. I need you to say it with some conviction. Say, neighbor, the Lord is with you. Come on, tell them one more time. Say, neighbor, the Lord is with you. Hey, hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So what was his response? Jehoshaphat said, you know what? At the word, I don't even need to see it. At the word, I bow my head down, my face to the ground. I'm going to worship. See, worship before you see it means that you're convinced that it's already done. You say, God, I come under the authority of what you said. Hey, I come under the identity of who you are, and I worship you, and I understand that what you said, I thank you for, and I appreciate it because I know you're going to do it. You're going to do it. You're going to do it. Said, oh, Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. Ain't nobody have to tell them. Ain't nobody have to instruct them. Everybody just said, you know what, God, because you answered us. Because we understood what was really on the line. You know what? What was really on the line was our lives. It was our lives. Our lives was on the line. Our lives was on the line. And because our life was on the line, I show thank you that you answered us. Ah, thank you that you heard me. I thank you that your spirit came and spoke and you somebody. Hallelujah. See, I'm just somebody carrying just a little message for you this morning. Hallelujah. So they worship. Saying the Levites, the ministers, the ministers of the children of Kohathites and of the children of the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. Oh, come on, come on, come on, come on. Those that serve him, those that have been sanctified, consecrated, come on, stand up and praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We send up a praise to your God. Hallelujah. Oh, because you are victorious. We send up a praise because your word is true. We send up a praise because we don't need to fight no more. We send up a praise as we trust you. As we trust you. As we trust you. Oh, we praise you as we trust you. As we trust you. Hallelujah.
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 Hey, hallelujah.
Oh, hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Oh.
So as they praise, as they praise, as they praise, said they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah. Come on, come on. Your praise is listening this morning. That's why it's leaping up on the inside of you. Because it's listening this morning. See, inhabitants of Jerusalem, that place of worship is listening this morning. Hear me. Stand at attention. Receive this word. Believe the Lord. Believe in the Lord your God. Believe him. Believe him. Believe him. And you will be established. Someone say, you know, God, I'm tired of seeming like we're not set, we're not established. God, I'm trying to pull things together. I feel like I'm not established in you. I'm not established in my life. I'm not established in my mindset. Or I'm not established financially. I'm not established in my relationships. I'm not established, God. I, God said, if you would just believe me. Just believe me. Just believe me. Believe what I said to you. And so you shall be established. And he said, believe his prophets, and so shall ye prosper. And I said, well, God, who prophesied was not even called a prophet. He's not named among the prophets. But he said, if you just believe a prophetic word, if you would just believe when a prophet begins to talk to you and communicate to you and have a conversation with you and sit down and say something to you, that God will come and whisper something in his spirit, his or her spirit, to be able to tell you something about your life, about your family, or about your ministry, or about your future. Prosperity. I'm not talking about just money. I'm talking about a wholeness. See, the thing is, we done stopped believing the word. Whether it was the prophetic spirit that came to you to visit you in your personal prayer closet, or whether it was somebody that spoke to you and said, you know what? The Lord says he's going to do this. Or the Lord says this about you. We have struggled with believing that word. And because of that, we have not prospered. That word for some of us has become an enemy, become a thorn in our flesh, or a torture to our mind, a torture to our emotions. But he said, what? Believe the prophet. After you believe God, believe who I sent to talk to you. Oh, because I want to have a witness in the earth for what I told you. Yeah. I want to have a witness of what I told you I was going to do. Come on, I got to get through this. I got a long way to go. Because all of this is a prophetic word, just in case you didn't know. This is called prophetic preaching. This is a prophetic word that I got to preach out. I got to preach it out till I'm done. So just let me get through it. He said, when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that shall praise the beauty of holiness, as they went out before the army, and to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. He said, well, I'm going to appoint people who sing with a militant spirit. Hey. I'm talking about are people who will sing because they know we have won the war. He put singers ahead of warriors. Come on, look at the foolishness of this thing, right? God, you're taking the foolishness things of the world to confound the wise. I'm going to send you to a war with a praise. And that's it. For some of us, we say, you know what? No, that's not enough. A song is not going to help me, but I'm trying to tell you, in this season, a song is going to get you the victory. A new song, an old song, and for the singers, there is a new song. A new song that God is going to begin to come and flow. Flow new songs of victory, new songs of deliverance, new songs of peace, new songs of prosperity. Yeah.
Hallelujah.
He appointed the singers, to go out before the army. Meaning even those that I got the faith to believe. I got the word of God to be able to fight against the enemy. I got the sword of the spirit. He said, no, I don't need you in this battle. Because we said, well, God, you know, I got your word. I know how to use your word. I got the faith. I know how to believe you. But he said, okay, yeah, but when we go to the battle, I need a song in your mouth. When we go to the battle, I want you to sing your way to deliverance. I want you to meet your enemy with joy. I want you to go out on the battlefield with a praise and a rejoicing. So he said, well, he appointed them See, the thing is, when you get appointed to sing, you have to take your appointment seriously. Seriously. Because in your mouth is the future. In your mouth is the future of a people prospering. So even in your personal time, when there's a song, see, there's about 2-3 days, the song, I done woke up, song in my spirit. I say, I'm gonna listen to the song all day. I'm gonna listen to the song. And I don't listen to music like that. You can ask my wife. I listen to the word. I listen to the word. I listen to preaching. I listen to the word most of the day. But the past few days, God said, keep this song. Send your spirit, God, not by might, nor by power, but send your spirit, God. He said, no, get this in your spirit, because it's not going to be by your hand that you're going to do this. It's not going to be by your hand that you're going to make it. It's not going to be by your understanding. It's not going to be by your strength, but it's going to be by the Spirit of the Lord. Let the song of the Lord go before you. Let the praises of God claim your next victory. Oh, come on, come on. There's a praise and worship that's going to claim this next place of victory. That's going to claim this next place of settlement. That's going to claim this next place of prosperity. Come on, give me the next scripture.
Oh, never mind.
Saying when they begin to sing and to praise, the Lord sent the blicks. He sent the blicks to them. He set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Seir, which will come against Judah. See, this thing has come against your praise life. That's why he said, you know what? I got to use your own praise life to be able to overcome it. It's coming against your life of praise. It's coming against your life of devotion to the Lord. It's coming against your life of worship. And because your worship has been getting dried up and your worship has not been the same, he said, well, I'm going to use your worship. I'm about to light a new fire in you to be able to worship me, to spend time with me, to steal away with me. See, that some of us, we got a romantic relationship with Jesus. I know for some of us that sound a little funny, but I got a romantic relationship with him. I tell him, you know, I love you too, because you love me first. I can't even say that I love you because you love me first. I got to say, God, I love you too. I love you too. Yeah, I do. I love you too. I want to spend a little time with you. Can I just sit down and talk to you? Can you just be close to me? God, come on, I'm a little needy in this relationship. I'm always asking for help. I'm always asking for peace. I'm always asking for direction. I'm always asking. But he say, I don't mind it. Because I love you. Yes. So he set ambushments against the enemy. And this is what the Lord said, I'm about to do. I'm going to set ambushments against that thing that's been fighting you. Yeah. I'm going to send you help that's going to overwhelm your struggle. See, this river of deliverance that's about to flow through this house, oh, it's going to overwhelm the enemy. Those that have deliverance in their hands and in their belly, about to get a brand new stirring. And healing is about to flow through this house. Emotional, mental, and physical, and spiritual. It's actually already flowing. God said, I got to just light the fire again. I'm going to light the fire again. Because some of us, we casted out devils and we got the backlash of that thing and you got tired of casting devils out. You got tired of people being bound and you got tired of casting out the same devil. But God said, you know what? No. This right here is going to be a flame like you ain't experienced before. This right here, this strength and this power that's about to rise up in you, it's going to be something like you have never experienced before. Hallelujah. So he said, well, I'm going to set ambushments. Ambushments against them. I said, well, God, what are the ambushments? scripture never tells us. We don't know if it's angels. You know, I just assume it was a bunch of angels. You know, but the angels, you know, the angels weren't killing the peoples. And when we go to the next scripture, we see what starts to happen. Say, and for the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir and utterly to slay and to destroy them. He said, I'm going to remove the confusion from you and put it in the enemy's camp. The confusion that has had your mind messed up, the confusion that has had you messed up about God, I'm going to remove that and I'm going to set that as an ambushment. The very thing that the enemy has used against you, I'm going to use it against him to destroy him. Because it seemed like to me, they came down there unified. And now he said, you know what? I'm gonna use the perversion to destroy the bitterness. Meaning I'm going to cause this struggle to implode inside of itself to the point where you're going to be free. Totally and utterly free. But you're going to witness it in your own personal life. Amen. So he said, well, he sent down up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, utterly to slay and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped to destroy another. They killed each other. They went from being on the same team to killing each other. I'm gonna look at your neighbor and say, this thing is about to die for good. This thing about to die for good. It's about to die. All you need to do is praise and worship him. Oh, it's about to die. Seek and praise him. It's about to die. Fast and worship him. It's about to die. Yeah. That thing that's been trying to overwhelm you, it's about to die. Overwhelm your house, it's about to die. It's about to die. Just get into the place of worship. Just get into the place of praise. Just get into the place of not being moved by what you see. Come on. I got a little bit further to go because they got to show you the level of prosperity this is about to release to your life. So when Judah came toward the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked up into the multitude, and behold, there were dead bodies falling to the earth and none escaped. By the time they got there, on the way to the battle with a praise, by the time they got there, there's nobody to fight. If you would just keep a praise and a worship in your mouth, if you would keep that flow in your spirit, in your heart, and in your mind, if you allow God to keep you stirred up, by the time you get to the battle, there won't be nobody to fight. That same thing that you thought was going to kill you, that had you so fearful before, you're going to be like, dag, it's dead. I mean, to the point to where you'd be like, is this real? You sure they dead? Is it really dead? Like, this is unbelievable. I thought we was about to die. Thought we was about to die. He said, no. That thing which come to kill you, I'm going to kill it. Yeah, I'm going to kill it. So verse 25, come on. Said, when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil of them, they found among them in abundance both riches with the dead bodies, precious jewels, which they stripped off for themselves, more than they could carry away, and they were 3 days in gathering of the spoil. And I said, well, God, who goes to a battle with jewelry? What soldiers are going to battle with a bunch of jewelry on and precious jewels, carrying them, And I said, well, maybe they destroyed some other places and they got them from there. Maybe. But maybe this thing really was a blessing in disguise. The thing that has feared, caused you to fear the most was actually probably going to be one of the biggest blessings that you ever going to walk upon in your walk up to this point. So it took them 3 days. 3 days. They couldn't even carry it off. You're talking about a whole nation. Come on, I want you to really open up your mind. I'm talking about one person. Not talking about 100 people. I'm talking about Judah and Jerusalem went down there and said, you know what? It's going to take us 3 days to get this prosperity that the Lord has just slayed and left for us. So what am I saying? And I'm not no money preacher. I'm gonna just tell you that off gate. I'm not, right? But I do believe that establishment does have to happen in the natural as well. And there's an establishment of a people to be able to establish a house. And when a people understand they're being established to be able to establish a kingdom, then they can be trusted with establishment. Hallelujah. So this could sustain the kingdom and cause riches to come to the kingdom, not just a person. Right? So if you would just allow what God wants to do in your life right now and just come in agreement with it and say, God, do it. I'm going to stay in that place of praise and worship. God, you're going to do this. God, I'm going to take my hand off of this thing. God, what? And then I'm going to let you lead me on what I need to do, say, and if I'm going to let you do it. I'm going to let you win this. Hallelujah. You'll be so blessed that you can't handle it. That's what this is pretty much saying. You can be so blessed that you cannot even handle it, meaning you cannot even sustain it. You need help to be able to handle it. Amen? Come on. Saying on the fourth day, they assembled themselves together in the valley of Berachah, and for there they blessed the Lord. Therefore, the name of the place was called the Valley of Berachah unto this day. Give me the next scripture. So then they returned, every man of Judah and Jerusalem, Jehoshaphat to the forefront of them to again to Jerusalem with joy. For the Lord had made them to rejoice over their enemies. Yeah, that right there. That's what you're going to do about it. That right there. That's what the Lord told me. He said, this thing that has caused you trouble, you're going to laugh about it. By the time this process gets done, you're going to laugh. It's going to bring you joy. You're going to look back and say, God, look at what you did. God is going to put a smile on your face. That which has troubled you, you're going to sit back and laugh and say, God, only you could have did what you did. And I rejoice in you because I'm laughing about how you did it. I'm laughing about even how I was while you was doing it. I'm laughing about the whole process because it was funny. Give me the next scripture. Saying they came to Jerusalem with psalteries and harps and trumpets unto the house of the Lord. And the fear of God was on all the kingdoms of those countries. And when they had heard that the Lord fought against the enemies of Israel. So this thing is not, it's going to give you the advantage for your next fight. So now you're going to, you know, it's going to put a little fear in the kingdom of Satan. Because right now, there's some demons that ain't too scared of some of us. They say, oh, no, I got you. No, I ain't scared of you. Pray all day. Go ahead, pray. Speak in tongues, do all that. But I know you don't want to let me go. Even if I leave for a little bit, you're going to open the door and bring me right on back. I ain't scared of you. I ain't scared of you at all. Go ahead, bind me up. I ain't going to be bound. I'm not going to be bound. You can't bind me up. But see, after this, yeah. You getting up in the morning going to bring fear to that which used to bring fear to you. Because now God will be able to entrust you with other people who go through the same process. And you'll be able to say, God can do this. See, that's the thing that the enemy don't want. He don't want you to be a witness, but that's what God wants. That's why he said, go down to the valley, because I want you to witness what I'm about to do. So you can be a witness and tell others that I could do it. Give me last scripture. So the ram of Jehoshaphat was quiet, for his God gave him rest round about. There's rest in his presence. Come on, look at our senior pastor. Right there. Resting. Resting in his presence. Resting in the word. There's rest in his presence. Rest. There's a rest that happens on the inside. I'm not talking about good sleep. Right? Got to make that clear. Can they be like, oh yeah, let me turn on some worship music and go to sleep? No. I'm not saying don't do that. You can do that. But I'm saying not all your worship is sleep. Sleep is not worship, okay? It's two different things. But there's a rest that you can get to where it'll be, and this is where some of the healing has to happen, because some of the issues of the body are because of stuff going on with the soul and the mind and the spirit. It's worries, it's weights, it's pains, and the natural manifestations of spiritual problems, constant headaches and migraines and all these different things. God said, I want to give you rest. Rest. Give your body rest. And whatever you need to do naturally, I give you the wisdom to do that so I can give your body rest. Hallelujah. I got it out now, so I'm good. I've been waiting about 3 weeks to get his word. Hallelujah. I was hoping I would get to be able to preach today. I really was. I thank God for my senior pastor, Pastor Lincoln Nelson, for giving me an opportunity to be able to give this word. Hallelujah. I thank God. Hallelujah. So look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, it's a new day. Look at him and tell him again, and you got a new praise, and you got a new worship. Hallelujah.